From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Good Monday. Jim Williams with you here on ABQ Connect. Our good friend Steve Ryman is behind the microphones today, turning all the knobs and pushing all the buttons. So thanks, Steve, for bringing us on the air. I'm joined in studio today by Valerie Jamison and Lacey Steele. Let me tell you a little bit about these ladies. Valerie, she is the founder of a nonprofit organization called Stand True for Blue. They strive to be a sustaining source of support for law enforcement and all first responders. Lacey is married to Rio Rancho Police Chief Stuart Steele, and she's here to give us her firsthand account of how law enforcement officers and their families are committed to protecting all of us. Ladies, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you so much for having us, Jim.
Well, we're blessed to have you. Valerie, I'm going to have you turn that microphone so it's toward you. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And give me a 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Do we not have Valerie on mic? We're working out a few little things here. Okay. I'm gonna switch these over real quick. I'm going to put Lacey on number 4. And for some reason, and that's just part of live radio. Sometimes we just don't have things. But so Steve Ryman is running from the control room to the studio. I mean, this guy is like, you know, a superstar of radio. The guy can work on the fly with anything. Hey, let's start talking about this because this is a very, I don't know, I guess it's culturally become some controversial thing. Lacey, before we start, though, and Valerie, too, and you know this, I want you to know that we here at KLYT and Calvary Church, we support the police. We pray for the police. We are constantly thinking about police officers and how much we appreciate them. And especially because police are just like us. They're not always perfect, right?
Right.
So, but they're giving their lives for us. And I mean, I'm just so amazed by that. We're so amazed at what Jesus did for us on the cross and giving his life up for us. And here the police, they don't even know us as individuals, and yet they're willing to risk their life. I'm gonna ask Valerie and Lacey, you at the same time, but I'm gonna start with Valerie. What are some stresses that law enforcement face that we may not understand as citizens?
Well, Lacey's probably going to answer this better than I, but from what I have come to learn over the last almost 9 years of doing Stand True for Blue is that these amazing people see the worst of the worst every single day over and over and over again, and then they do this for a career. This is their career. And so the stresses from what my perspective of working with them is that they try to be everybody's hero. They're the strong ones. They come in, they help. But at the end of the day, they're still human and they have families. And so I know there's a lot of other stresses that Lacey can talk about, but watching them choose to do this because it is their choice to do this, I don't understand it. I would not make a good police officer. This is why I support them, because they are rock stars. They really are. And but the stresses of them carrying other people's weight, the burden, the worst days, that moves me. That moves me because they are stresses that I could take on every day. And then they go home to their families, and then they have the stresses of a normal family that I think a lot of community. We don't really see that. We don't understand that they have this double amount of stress. So that's why we do what we do, because we want to come alongside and try to just bring some sort of joy and lock arms with them and do life with them.
Yeah, and I think if you're listening right now and you want to know about Stand True for Blue and how they encourage police officers, please stay tuned, because we've got a lot to talk about today. They have opportunities for volunteers. There's always obviously a way to give and support the organization. Valerie's organization is mobilizing businesses and schools and all kinds of people to get them involved in, you know, supporting and encouraging the police. Lacey, are there stresses that come to mind as we talk about this? And we're probably way understating that, aren't we?
Oh, yes. First of all, thank you for having me here today to share some of the stresses that we go through. Valerie is completely right. The first stress that we have is, I think that people don't realize that the men and women in law enforcement are human, and they still feel. And when they're going to these calls, miscellaneous calls for service, it could be somebody's, it's never their best day. It's usually their worst day, right? So when they're going to these calls, they're expected to leave this call and go right to the next call. And what we're forgetting is there's still a human back there, and they're still not getting out their emotion and expressing what they're feeling. And so we kind of expect them as society, well, that's their job. It is their job. It is a calling for them, the ones who stay in it. But it's not their job to just forget who they are as a person. And a lot of times what we're seeing in law enforcement is with our law enforcement officers, law enforcement is becoming their identity. It's becoming who they are. And it is partly because it is a calling. But the other part of it is that their whole life is built around that. And we forget that they are human, that they are suffering. And as far as our families, like we talk about trauma, law enforcement officers experience a lot of trauma. They get there, they arrive on scene. It's not the person's best day, which means the officer is going to go in through it with them. That's a secondary trauma the officers experiencing. Then the officer goes home and they're sharing that experience with their families. And so what's happening is a spouse is usually more spouses than our children. We are suffering the secondary trauma from it because we understand the reality is, you know, the risk is they might lose their life, but on top of it, we're still experiencing what they experience because we're the ones that are handling their emotions. They're not going to work and saying to their supervisor, this was a terrible call. You know, this was really bad. They're not breaking down because we don't want them to break down, right? They are the law enforcement officer that walks out there. They're in full control, and that's our form of authority, and they have to show that at all times. But inside, you know, I say this in a lot of the classes that we teach. They're dying inside. They're hurting. They're struggling. And they're not okay. And I think as a society, we need to come together and realize these are people too.
Lacey Steele is the wife of Rio Rancho Police Chief Stuart Steele. And you just mentioned the classes you teach.
Yes.
I'm teasing that because I want people to keep listening throughout the hour because you're going to be able to talk about, gee, how did you prepare to get married to a police officer? And did you get all the way there? Or have you? I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of really good stuff. So let's say that you're married to somebody in law enforcement, man, woman. You're going to hear some things from Lacey that I think can be really encouraging and helpful to you. I want to step to the right and talk to Valerie just a minute about Stand Trooper Blue because you two are obviously friends.
Yes.
And I've known each other for a little bit. But I also know, Valerie, that you are investing a lot of time, and part of developing relationships is like you've just gone through the Civilian Police Academy in Rio Rancho. Why do you do that kind of stuff?
I'm currently going, and it's amazing for everyone out there. I think everyone should look into their civilian police academies. I'm going through it because I want to know them better as people. I understand how departments work, but it's always, you know, every department has different units and they do things a little differently. But my focus and my heart is for the people. We want to go through and see how we can better support them, what we can do to link arms with them, encourage them, and just let them know they're seen and valued. Because I really truly see them as my brothers and sisters in the community. And so when I get to go through these academies, it's like getting right inside, and we get to know them.
What is the gap between the community and law enforcement that Stand Trooper Blue stands in the middle of?
Sure. What we have really come to realize is there is just a natural gap. Because think about it. How many people interact with law enforcement? They call them when something's wrong. They don't call up and say, hey, come on over for coffee, right? They don't do that. And so we, as Stand True, really, it's the Lord gave us these ideas of building these support platforms where everybody can get involved, where we bridge the gap. So that would look like if a business or a church or a school would like to get involved, they contact us and we talk to them about how they can support them. And then we try to foster programs and platforms of interaction so they can build their own relationship with these amazing people.
So if you're a third grade teacher and you're listening to this show and you think, man, I'd like to involve my kids in encouraging the police, they could contact Stand True for Blue? How do they do that?
Absolutely. The best way is to go through our website at Stand True 4. It's the number 4, Blue. So StandTrue4Blue.com, and contact us through there. Let us know where they're coming from, what they're thinking. We will contact them and work with them individually on what they would like to do. We do have programs, but we also think it's important to have some autonomy. And so these businesses or schools, neighborhoods, organizations can say, hey, we are thinking of doing this, and we'll come alongside and we'll help really foster that and bridge the gap and work with both sides and work with amazing people on both sides. It's been such a blessing.
Well, and as we make our way through the show today, I've already mentioned Lacey's going to talk about some of the things she's doing and participating in teaching, family members and law enforcement, various things that encourage their family and maybe sustainability kinds of things, keeping your mental health and spiritual health, et cetera. But Valerie, you're also you're connecting the public. I'd written this down, and I think it's true in all areas of what I'll call ministry. Some people don't see themselves, in my opinion, the way God sees them. Mm-hmm. They don't see themselves as a valuable tool that God wants to engage and love other people through you. And you give people that opportunity through Stand True.
Absolutely. We are his hands and feet. Mm-hmm. And I think when we posture ourselves to receive from the Holy Spirit what he wants us to do, it's love people, love him and love people. And that's exactly what Stand True, really the foundation of Stand True, is loving him and loving people. And he does the rest. You know, he just wants us to posture and bring whatever we have before him and say, Lord, here I am, use me.
You know, one real easy way, if you don't have a chance, maybe riding in the car or whatever, and I don't want you to write anything down while you're driving your car. I want to make sure you know that Stand True for Blue, their banner is on our community page. So you can go to klyt.fm and click on Stand True for Blue, and that'll take you right to their webpage. Maybe an easier way for people to remember, just go to klyt.fm. It also helps us a little bit because there's some measurables about who's listening and you know, how many people are directed to the website. I think it's really helpful. We're going to take a quick break. We're with Valerie Jamison and Lacey Steele. We're talking about law enforcement and how Stand True for Blue can encourage people. But Lacey's here really as a spouse, devoted spouse, mom, grandma now. I love that, which of course means your husband is the same, and you guys have a large family, but not just a family of your own. Your family is Rio Rancho Police Department, so we're going to talk about all the ingredients that go into that, so I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
I probably shouldn't say things like this, but I'm thinking about if you're a high school student and you're thinking about a career and, you know, you have the people from the law boards come in and talk to you about being a lawyer, or you have people from a local hospital come in and talk to you about being a nurse or a doctor, and then you have law enforcement individuals come in, and if they're being really honest, they're probably not telling sophomores in high school about all the difficulties. And Lacey, I know you're a very positive person. You're a half full kind of perspective person, but there are things that are very difficult. And so my question really is, why are you and your husband committed to being involved in law enforcement?
So, first of all, I would say that, you know, the Bible calls us to defend the poor, defend the weak, to help the fatherless, help the widow. And for us, for my husband, I know it was a calling for him. And he would tell you from early on, he wanted to be a police officer. There was nothing else he ever wanted to do. And he grew up with a friend that that's what they were going to do. They were going to be police officers. They're going to be on the SWAT team. My husband stuck to that. His friend became a car salesman. So it is a calling. We have two sons that are police officers. And I can tell you from day one, about 2 and 3 years old, when their little personalities were coming through, we knew that God had also called them to be police officers. They'd run around asking for their dad's cupcakes. That's what they called the handcuffs, because they wanted to arrest each other. You know, so it is a calling, and that is what my husband's doing. He is living out his calling.
So I, again, kind of being personal and invasive, that's just how I am. I don't mean to be that way, but Lacey, you're dating your husband. Doesn't sound like you had a big background in law enforcement before you got married. Were you prepared for what being married to a, you know, now police chief would mean for your marriage?
So I could tell you no, I was not. And I don't know that there is a way to prepare anybody to be married to a law enforcement officer or a police chief. From my background, I come from a very, you know, rough home. And any interaction we ever had with law enforcement was not from the law enforcement side. It was from the opposite side. And so I was terrified of police officers because I'd only known the experience of my family. I'm a foster kid, if that gives you any good ideas of what my life might have been like. But when I first met my husband, I remember I couldn't really get rid of him. And I tease and I say it was either marry him or have him put in jail for stalking. Oh. I couldn't get him to go away. But it took one ride-along, and we encourage ride-alongs because that one ride-along changed my life. It was the first time that I had saw interaction with a law enforcement officer from the seat of a police car, from their point of view. And my husband had pulled over someone for speeding, and they kept stepping behind them. And because of my family experience and from the time when I was a child watching that interaction, all I could think of is, wow, this really nice guy is fixing to get hurt here in front of me, because I knew what my family would do. And it turned out that he was able to maintain control. And when he got in the car, he's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. And it was the first time I ever had any respect for a law enforcement officer, and the first time I ever saw it from their point of view. All I could think of was, wow, he's a really nice person, and he's really just doing what the law says to do. And then here are these people. And those people were my family, even though it was a different face and a different person, I knew what they would do. And so that was the first time that I ever realized what a life in law enforcement might look like. I didn't really know then I was going to marry him. He said he knew from day one he was going to marry me. I said it took me at least 3 weeks. So I don't know.
3 weeks is pretty quick. You mentioned in the first segment about classes and you're working with other law enforcement that may be getting married or maybe they're in young marriages, but you want to encourage people too and prepare them well for what they're about to face. Tell me what you're doing.
So that's right. My husband and I, when he became a police chief about 9 years ago, we knew there was a need to grow the relationships in law enforcement. My husband looks at it like a three-prong, three tenets. He says the officer themselves, the families, and the citizens. And so what he has done is, for the officer, it's about officer wellness. You know, we have more police officers killing themselves than being killed in the line of duty by gunfire. I don't know if you know that.
That is a horrible statistic.
Terrible. And it's been years. This is not like something that happened yesterday. This is something that's been going on for 30 and 40 and 50 years. So we work on officer wellness first, and that's loving our officers as if they were our own children or our brothers or our sisters, okay? And then the their families, we love who they love most, which is their families. And because at the end of the day, what happens to our law enforcement officer happens to our families. And so we love them. And what we do for them is we offer a family support academy. And we kind of put this together. We held the first one in Oklahoma. We've held the first one, we believe, in the state here. We've done them maybe twice a year for the last 6 years, I believe. And in that academy, what we do is we talk to our spouses, their mothers, their fathers, their sisters, their brothers, their partners. It doesn't matter. Whoever loves them and is their support system, we work on them and we say, hey, listen, this is what a life in law enforcement is going to look like. It's not pretty, but you are their sole support and we're going to love you. And this is how we're going to support you. And we talk about that support. It's PSPG. That's for our law enforcement officers. When my husband and I married 30 years ago, we had employee EAP. It was called the EAP program. You got two visits a year for like $125, which was a ton of money then.
Yes.
PSPG does free counseling for our law enforcement officers in Rio Rancho. We have peer support now. Peer support is where other officers come alongside together and they help each other. They're trained. They help each other get through the events they're going through. And then we also have a chaplaincy program, which I'm happy to I'm a chaplain as well, happy to be a part of it. But we have a great chaplaincy program where they go and they are actually very present in our officers' lives. They're in the department. They're in the cars with them. They're talking to them. So those are some of the ways. Now, the third aspect is the civilian. So we have the employee, the family, the civilian. We do the Citizens Police Academy. And the reason is we need our citizens to understand that law enforcement officers are people, too. We have good citizens that love them, but they don't really understand law enforcement. They've been taught from early on, hey, you do something wrong, you're going to get arrested. You see that policeman there, you're going to go to jail. So what we do is we try to encourage them to come in and get to know us, get to know law enforcement, and to love them, but to love them in a way that's genuine. So we have officers come in there. I teach there. We have officers come in there and they talk about their lives. They talk about what they do. They talk about why they do it. And this is how we're growing that community of love and support and how we're also helping their families.
I know this is not on our little list, but I kind of have a perception of police officers similar to the way I would see a pastor that's dealing with problems. Who does the pastor talk to, right?
Right.
Well, who's that person that's the law enforcement officer talk to? And you've kind of answered that question. And I'm sure you're available. There's tragic things that happen. And obviously we want to pray that we never wish half the stuff or more that happens to people. And when we lose officers, that's especially traumatic. And Valerie, you've been involved in a lot of that, and I'll have you speak to that in just a second. But if a spouse is really having a lot of trouble, there's people that will reach out to them and help them?
So the way that works is we do have chaplaincy. We have our chaplaincy mm-hmm. program, and they're more than welcome to reach out to them. Because the way it works is we don't want to interfere in their lives. If they need help, all they have to do is call. If the officers need help, all they have to do is ask. And so with our Family Support Academy, that's what we share with them. We have a peer support program, and it is open to you. If you need help, all you have to do is let somebody know. But we also have it in a way that it's confidential. We don't want our officers to look at our chaplains who are walking around the department that are riding along with them to see the chaplain walk into my husband's office, because my husband would not tolerate them sharing what the officer's going through. I mean, it's a confidential matter, and we keep it that way. So we want them to know that we love them and that they can share in confidence. And if they want it shared, we'll do our best to support them in the ways that they see fit.
Yeah. I know divorce in our society already is rampant. I'm told that it's difficult to be married when you're in law enforcement, man or woman. Are you seeing some results? Are you seeing families be more encouraged through both of your efforts? And that's really a question for both of you.
So when I first met my husband, one of the first things he told me was, in the academy, they said that 55% of our marriages will end in divorce. Well, I think that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When someone tells you, you just kind of expect it, right?
Yeah.
The goal of our Family Support Academy is actually to keep our marriages together. We want our officers and their marriages to thrive. And one thing that we're finding is it's really, there's this huge gap. And that gap is communication. We have our officers going through the worst things at work, and they're not coming home and sharing that. And I think the reason is we still look at our spouses like they are the caretaker of us. They are our protectors, and they look at that too. And so they're real reluctant to share that kind of information with us. And so what happens in law enforcement is they rely on another person that they shouldn't. But what we're doing is we're trying to build bridges between them and their spouse. It's okay. We want our spouses in there. We want our parents in there. We've got his police department looking like a family atmosphere. I had an officer about 2 months ago say, I'm so happy I can bring my wife in here. And I had the wife they've been married 11 years. He's been there 11 years. And she's like, I always wanted to see inside of here. Well, welcome. We want you here every chance we can. So that gap in marriages is really, it's a failure to communicate. And we talk about that with our families. We talk about being caring, compassion, considerate. But considerate is the biggest thing. Before an officer shares anything that they're going through with someone else, we're asking them to consider their spouse first. Ask your spouse, is it okay if I share this with so-and-so? Is it okay? You know, and then once they have that, the yes, the approval, then share it. We're asking them to go to them first. So we are pushing for our marriages. In law enforcement, that 55%, and I share this in our academy, if you have a room full of 100 people, and they're all police officers, 75 of those have been divorced one time. 90 of those are in their second marriage and are guaranteed pretty much to divorce again. And then when they hit their third marriage, we don't know. Okay, because they're older, they've kind of aged out. We don't know where they're at this point. But it is significantly higher in law enforcement, and we are doing what we can at Rio Rancho to reduce that. We want our marriages to thrive and stay together.
Lacey, I don't know if I like being put in that older, aged out category. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I always hate to be the oldest person in the room, which I am. So, hey, what can we do? Lacey, your husband, Stuart, is the chief police of Rio Rancho Police. But I get the sense that maybe he didn't know when you got married that you were as tough as you are. Would you say that's true?
That's absolutely true. I'm from Alabama, is what I say. It's Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. And where I come from, I remember not crying. I was like, I will never cry. You know, but no, he's found out, you know, the last few years I actually do cry. But I do put up a good fight with him. So
I love it. Valerie Jamison is the founder of Stand True for Blue. And they're an organization and ministry that is constantly encouraging law enforcement and first responders, not only for Rio Rancho Police, but Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office, Albuquerque Police Department, et cetera. You're available for even other departments, aren't you, Valerie, for things that are going on? Because we know the whole state of New Mexico is kind of a big family. And as you're listening today, and I'm going to ask Valerie this when we come back, but if you're thinking about maybe you need to stand true for blue down in your area, Las Cruces or other places, maybe you need to call Valerie and find out how to get that all set up. We got a lot more to talk about, another 30 minutes talking about encouraging law enforcement. We'll be right back.
KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
I've had a few people tell me that they had to basically repent because they weren't very affectionate toward police officers until they needed one and saw the amazing service that they were provided. I've been opposite of that. I mean, I've gotten some speeding tickets and done some things. By the way, and I don't want him to, you know, tell me I'm no longer on the radio, but Skip Heitzik has a tendency, or at least at one time did, of driving a little bit too fast. he'll probably be mad at me because I shared that, but I think he's got that under control now. But all of us are, you know, sometimes we don't realize that we may be, even though we might perceive it as endangering other people in a small way, we really all need to drive the speed limit. We all need to follow our traffic signs. We all need to respect and adhere to the way we're instructed when a law enforcement officer instructs us. Valerie, I want to piggyback off of what Lacey said earlier, and that is she's talking about, we're going to have some more personal experience things that she's going to share in just a minute. But there are things that you do as part of Stand True for Blues. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, we as a community, kind of that third prong, what we like to do is when we see the officer, we see the family. So we have something called the special unit support that really encompasses a lot. So what we do for these families and for these marriages is we are family life affiliates. So we send them to Weekend to Remember marriage conferences.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, yes. And then we also we do date nights, family nights through our Thankful Thursday giveaways. And if there is a need, I mean, we've even done birthday parties. They've called us and said, can you help? We help with birthday parties, we've helped with memorial services. If they have a loved one in the hospital and they need something, we try to link arms with them to try to help with those stresses, so they can be that family unit. And we try to really, from the community.
And when you say yes, we, you're talking about people that are listening right
absolutely
now. How can they join you
yes
in doing some of these
well
things?
Everybody can do something. And really, when we started Stand True for Blue, the Lord put it on my heart that this is a place for every single person, from the youngest to the oldest. Every single life matters. Every single person can do something. And as talking about being God's hands and feet, when we do that, we meet a need and we bless on the other side. So it could be anything from if you own a business and you give discounts, to you frequent a business and you want to grab a gift card and send that in. We can give that. We can give it away. We can our adopt an officer, where we partner in prayer, where every single officer, within the Albuquerque metro area, including Rio Rancho, has a team of four families praying for his or her and their family.
So you may not be a real mobile person right now.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
You have all kinds of opportunities to pray in very specific ways. And Valor, you kind of coordinate that for
them. Yes. So if you want to get involved and you don't know how, call us. We'll get to know you. We'll ask what things you're passionate about and we'll plug in.
Yeah. I love that. Lacey Steele is the wife of Stuart Steele. He is the chief of police in Rio Rancho. Lacey, talk to me about, I guess, a situation. I know you can't use any names or anything, but that I want you to maybe contrast how something turned out well and maybe an example of how things didn't turn out so well, but yet you and Stand True for Blue are there for people.
So let me talk about something that didn't turn out so well. In 2001, my husband was involved in an officer-involved shooting, and his cousin just happened to be the officer in there, and I share this in the Citizens Police Academy. It was real unfortunate that they ended up in a building for an alarm call, and a suspect ended up dying. A canine officer, a dog, ended up killed. My husband's cousin was shot twice. After that event, what happened within our home was different. My husband didn't know how to handle what he was going through. His department didn't know how to handle it. It was the first officer-involved shooting where an officer had been shot. And I didn't know how to handle my husband. So we had a problem where the department didn't know what to do, my husband didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to manage him, he didn't know how to manage himself, and I didn't know how to manage him. Within about 2 years, I watched our cousin, his marriage decline, and they divorced. And I started to notice ours was too. And we were not communicating. My husband wasn't dealing with what he was going through. And I didn't know how to handle that. All I knew is at the time is I had these five children. I had a job and I was going to school full time and I was still keeping our house running. So we ended up almost completely dissolving our marriage. It was done. We had called it quits. And counseling helped. The right counselor helps, right? The right person who understands. We went to two counselors before that, and neither one of them understood that when we walked out, I was like, this is useless. I'm not going back. He walked out, one of them. He said, this is useless. He wasn't going back. And the third one, by our fifth session, we had gotten in there, and she was like, you two again. She goes, let me ask you something. At the end of your life, who do you want there? And I said, I want him and my children. And she said, well, who do you want? He goes, her and our children. She goes, you two, get out of here right now. Get moved back in together and stop this. It was straight talk. So we did what she said. She was a little bit older than us, and we both listened to our elders, and we did exactly what she said. And it wasn't easy. But what we found was through the experiences our officers were having, the trauma, our marriages were falling apart. I think trauma is the number one reason our marriages fall apart. I don't think our officers know how to handle each other. So about 3 years later, another officer-involved shooting happens, and I reached out to the wife, and I said, hey, listen, I just want you to know they're going to go through something. It's not what you expect. You're not going to know how to handle it. They're going to be angry. They're going to be depressed. They're going to go through this roller coaster of emotions. Just listen and wait for those small moments. And she said to me, oh, no, I've been with my husband since I was 16. What happened to you guys is not going to happen to us. I said, okay, well, I've been with my husband since I was 16, too, but all right, okay. They fell apart. They completely divorced, they're both remarried, and they have children with other people. So that is something that didn't turn out so well. And in the middle of their divorce, she called me and she said, Lacey, I don't know what to do. And I said, you should have listened, because I was trying to tell you, and now I think it's way too late, and it was too late. Fast forward to here. So I counsel a lot of our officer wives, a lot from Albuquerque, actually, and a lot from Rio Rancho Police Department. And I can't really share who or what, but I can share with you this. There was a situation where the officer's wife was coming to me. She was upset. She was like, you know, I work here and I'm constantly going through this. I don't get to see my husband a lot because their hours are unpredictable. They go to work for 8 hours. You might not see him for 12. You might not see him for 16 because you have to finish and follow through, right? So she was like, we are falling apart. And I said, you know how we did it was, we became compassionate to one another. So the areas you're closing off in your life, open up and listen to them. Be considerate of what they're going through as well. And so we kind of worked through a few things, and they were pretty much done. The spouse had come to me, the officer spouse had come to me, and it was just through conversation, had mentioned they were struggling a little bit. And I was like, well, we're going to be praying for you, and, you know, everything's going to be okay, I'm sure. I saw them. That was maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. But I saw them together. And she looked at me and she winked and she said, thank you for all you did and what you said to me, because it made a difference. Being considerate and listening to him is what made the difference. And it did. So other than I can't really share any more about it, but I can tell you we are winning when it comes to our relationship.
So I guess, Lacey, I want to ask you this question. You then can say, this was my marriage before this tragic event, and this is my marriage now. How is it different now? Because it sounds like it's much stronger.
Oh, it is. I was just talking to my son, Todd, this morning, and I said, you know, and this is what I tell our police spouses, you have to be 100% in. It can't be 99. You won't make it. And when my husband and I were falling apart, I remember thinking, I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm just done. I'm the one who's been home. I'm the one who takes care of the children. I'm the one who takes care of our finances. I'm the disciplinarian, because we're second burner. We come last. The society always comes first. And when I finally sat down, I was like, Lacey, either give it 100% or just shut the door and be done. When I gave it 100%, it worked. You don't give it 100%, it won't. From that point moving forward, that I actually submitted to the 100%, and he was already committed to the 100%, our lives got so much better that it's not easy. There's no easy road to any marriage. But we worked through it, and we worked through it by being compassionate, being considerate, finding our core, because we had lost our foundation. In the middle of that shooting, our church failed us completely. I called the pastor that morning, and he never even mentioned it to our church. He never even asked for prayer. And when they noticed was when I didn't show up to teach class, which was the Wednesday night after. So it was going back to our core and having a foundation. Just basically, our relationship has grown so much more because of what we've been through. We're much stronger as a team, and my husband says we are a team. So,
yeah, well, and I think that team is really important. I mean, you may be listening to this, and you're not married to somebody in law enforcement, but you need to give 100%. I mean, I'm divorced after 26 years. Very disappointed that I got divorced. Even today, I mean, obviously. I guess I had the impression at one time that I controlled something. And what you find out in any marriage, if you're open and honest about it, is you don't control anything, because the other person is an independent entity until they make that commitment that you've obviously made. And so I'm encouraged today that you've said, hey, we had all but given up on our marriage, and it sounds like you were even separate. But God brought it back together, and that commitment that you've made to one another and is really paid off, and is, you know, now you're able to openly share about that. That might have been something you were embarrassed about at one time, but now God is using it to encourage other people. So I think that's really awesome. We're in studio today with Valerie Jamieson and talking about Stand True for Blue and all the work they do as a ministry. I'm hoping as you listen that you'll think about maybe Stand True for Blue is a place that I can give to support this work, or maybe it's a conduit for me to serve and get involved. And I hope you'll, no matter what, pray for not only Rio Rancho Police Department and Lacey's husband, Stuart, but also for law enforcement agencies wherever you live. We have one more segment with these two ladies. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
YT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
I have so much fun hosting ABQ Connect. Appreciate you joining us today. Hey, I want to remind you today at 3 o'clock, Janet Parshall talk show, kind of the debut interview. Janet is going to be interviewing at 3 o'clock, a special guest. She's out of Washington, D.C. You may be familiar with her podcast and different things. Kind of a politically oriented, challenging Christians to get involved in the political process and be good citizens. So that's today at 3 o'clock, brand new show. Steve Ryman, our general manager and jack of all trades, also engineering our show today. He's putting together all kinds of really cool things for our listeners, and I hope you'll be encouraged by that. That's at 3 o'clock. And that'll be Monday through Friday here on KLYT. I'm joined in studio by Valerie Jamieson and Lacey Steele. I want to tell you a little bit about Stand True for Blue. They're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that strives to be a sustaining source of support for law enforcement and all first responders. Stand True for Blue. They have businesses involved, churches, neighborhoods. They have platforms for schools. I think, Valerie, you told me that you kind of got involved by having your students, as you, when you were a teacher, write letters to law enforcement.
Yes, yes. Actually, Stand True was birthed out of my classroom.
And I just think all of those stories are really amazing. Valerie, you were listening intently to Lacey giving her personal experience, telling us about some tragedy and some things that happened to destroy families, but then turning that around and sharing with us a victory story, piggyback on that and make some comment about it.
Well, it's just, they're inspirational. They're beautiful people. Living in Rio Rancho and getting to know them as a couple, they are a dynamic duo, and they complement each other. And it's a beautiful marriage. It's beautiful. They go on date nights. They celebrate their marriage.
Okay, but that's not just a, hey, we're going to go out once in a while. That sounds like an exercise, Lacey. Is that right?
It's so tough to schedule a date night, but we do. We do try to. We try very hard to spend time together. I know with PSPG, they say one date night a week, one weekend away a month. I would like to do the weekend away a month. It just doesn't really happen, but we do try.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. I just want to thank them for fighting for their marriage, because on this side of it, they're a beautiful example. And we're very, very proud of them.
Yeah. Yes. I think I don't know if you've ever read the book, but there's a book by Dr. Emerson Eggerich called Love and Respect. And the interesting thing to me about that book is we're familiar with what the Bible says about a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church and give himself up for her. But it doesn't the Bible actually never tells a woman to love her husband. It says she needs to respect her husband. So a thing is called in Love and Respect, called the crazy cycle, where a man will say, I won't love my wife because she doesn't respect me. And then the woman turns around and goes, well, I'm not going to respect him because he doesn't love me. Well, the whole point of the book is somebody has to make a decision to do what the Bible says to do. And the funny thing is, I'd love to be able to say, that's the man. Yeah, the man is always going to do the right thing. 90% of the time, it's the woman that does it. She's extending respect when he probably doesn't necessarily deserve it. But again, that's part of what we're called to do. And you know, I was not successfully married. Have some amazing kids, and I'm so thankful for that, but I didn't do what I'm encouraging all of you to do. And don't think that's hypocrisy. Think about that as, yeah, I'm sharing with you something that was negative that I hope you won't allow to happen to you. And you're doing that same thing, Lacey, aren't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The one thing that my husband and I both agree is that with our experiences, everything we try to look from a learning perspective, what can we learn from it and how can we make it better? So we don't just speak about it at the Citizens Police Academy or in our church groups, or we also talk about it with our children because we want their marriages to thrive. And so we believe it's genuine. It's being genuine and being authentic. So what people see is what they get. Marriage is not easy. It's a commitment. But more than anything, it's a compromise and it's a sacrifice. And so that's what we both know and understand that.
Lacey, what does it mean to you when citizens, like through Stand True for Blue, what does it mean to you when you know they're in your corner, men and women?
Oh my goodness. Valerie is amazing, and Stand True for Blue has been just beautiful. But to know as a spouse and as a mother that there are groups out there and organizations out there willing to love our families, that means everything to me, especially for my children. It's a different animal being married to a law enforcement officer and being a mother to law enforcement officers. Like my husband, I love, and I know everything's going to be okay with my kids. I'm like a freak show, okay? But Stand True for Blue, even when my son Spencer was injured, they sent him stuff and talked to him and reached out to him. And so having that support as a spouse, as a mother, it means so much to us to know that there are citizens and people who love and want to be a part of our lives and want to take good care of us and understand that there is a family behind the badge and that we exist and that our spouse is in law enforcement, that the people too.
I had a conversation with somebody in Michelle Lujan Grisham's office. I would say I'm trying to be diplomatic here. I would say that some of the policies coming out of the governor's office don't agree with what we think are biblical approaches to different situations. But despite that, I emphasized to this person, I said, do you know that people at Calvary and other churches around New Mexico, we are praying for our governor? Mm-hmm. We're not complaining. We're praying for her to have insight and supernatural wisdom and grace and all the things that go into being the leader of our state. And that's really true. They were surprised by that. They thought all we did is complain. And I said, well, anybody has a godly approach, they're going to be for people, not against them. It doesn't mean we're always going to agree. It just means we're there. And Valerie, you are mobilizing people. You're giving them specific things to pray about and how to serve and little things like putting together snacks for officers to what other ways?
Yes. Well, I think one of our biggest is the prayer. It starts with prayer. We know prayer changes everything. Yes. It changes everything. So we're also doing our Thankful Thursday giveaways, highlighting businesses, showing, really being the bridge between business and our law enforcement. So they know those businesses that celebrate them because it's scary out there. They need to know the ones that celebrate them and who are there for them. We also do cruiser bag builds where we partner with businesses and we put together hydration and snacks and an encouraging note. Everything we do has a note attached to it saying, I see you, you matter, keep going, and that we're there to support them. And then our family support that ranges from on-scene support to family support to locking arms in any stage of life, wherever they need us. We just want them to know that we're there to help them. So with community, anybody can jump in and help with any of these at any time, whatever you have to bring to the table. If it's I just have a thank you. Well, we can scan a letter and it can go across our state and into 27 other states. One letter can encourage thousands of first responders. And so, or a prayer, we'll assign an officer and their family to you, and you and your family can pray for them and hold them up. There's something for everything, everybody. So what we're asking is to do something. I think the hard thing is knowing that there's so many people that say, I'm in support of our first responders, our police mainly. And I say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm for them. We need to show up. Yeah. We need to show up visually. We need to show up verbally. We need to show up in our city council meetings. We need to show up, in Santa Fe. We need to show up and say, no, we're locking arms with them. We need to show up.
Stand True, the number 4blue.com. StandTrue4blue.com is a way you can reach out and connect with Stand True for Blue. Lacey, last question is, how can our listeners, there may be 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people listening right now, and many of them are dedicated prayer warriors. How can they pray for you?
Just keep praying for our officers and their families, and just know that there is a family behind the badge. We appreciate their support.
Hey, silly question maybe, but is any of this fun?
It's all fun. This is all fun.
I mean, because you see God working through your lives, right?
Yes, we do.
I love it. Thank you both for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.